Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see y'all this morning. I'm glad that I have a mic on so I don't have to project, because it looks like all of y'all were scared of us up here as you're way back there. But we're mic'd, and so I won't have to yell. It is good to see you this morning. Please note the thank you letter that Ralph Beasley has placed in the bulletin, and then please note the dinner menu for Wednesday night, and be reminded that our Bible study continues this Thursday at 4 p.m. in the fellowship hall. As we prepare to begin this morning, not asking for any hand raising, but my guess is, as most of us have walked into this room, this week has been a mixed bag. That this week has had its joys, its celebrations, its funny moments, its happy moments. That it's had its moments of grief. It's had its moments of aggravations. It's had its moments of disappointment. You know what that's called?
Life.
But as we come in to worship this morning, I'm reminded of a passage. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Think about that a moment. We're not survivors. We don't get by. We're not even conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Him who first loved us. So hopefully this morning my brain's going to work for about 30 more seconds. I want you to repeat with me. I'm going to change the phrase just a little bit, but it'll still be true to the scripture. I want you to repeat after me. I am more than a conqueror. Go ahead.
I am more than a conqueror.
Through Him who loves me.
Through Him who loves me.
I am more than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror.
Through Him who loves me.
Through Him who loves me.
And let us worship the one who makes that possible. Gracious and loving Lord, Your name is worthy to be praised. We do seek to exalt You. And so we pray that as we enter into this service of worship, that our heart is communing with Your heart, and that You are receiving our thanksgiving and praise, and that we are receiving the messages that You have for us. As we continue, we pray that this service is pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it strengthens your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." Let's stand as we sing.
Go to prayer. Are there joys or concerns that should be lifted up? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for giving us the strength to be in this place. Thank you for bringing your church together. Thank you that whenever we gather in this holy place, that we know that you meet us in a special way, that though you are with us in every step and breath of life, there is something unique that you have ordained when your people gather together to worship you. And so, Lord, we just pray that our hearts and our minds and our souls are in such a place where we truly worship you. Where for these few brief moments, every fiber of our being and our soul and our heart is focused on the one who first loved us, and hence we pray that we are more able to love you and love one another. So we pray that our hearts are full of praise and that you receive that thanksgiving and praise. We thank you as always for the freedom through which we're worshiping right now. The freedom to gather for worship or not gather. The freedom to gather in one congregation or another. We thank you, Lord, that it's been our privilege that this has just been our way of life since the day we were born. But Lord, let us never forget that such is not so for so many places around the world. Let us never forget that what we take as just our everyday life is a dream and a fantasy for so many around the world. And so Lord, even when those freedoms allow others to do things that perhaps we don't agree with or aggravates each other, Lord, let us never forget what a privilege just the ability to have those encounters truly is. And yet, Lord, we know that those freedoms, freedom of worship, freedom, all the other freedoms that we enjoy, we know that it's not cheap, it's not guaranteed. So, Lord, we thank you for those who stand in the gap this morning in civilian roles and in military roles, and those who are just a communication away as they protect us. We pray that your protection will be upon them and that your healing will be upon the wounded, the physical wounds and the emotional and spiritual wounds. And we pray that your peace will be upon the families whose loved one made that ultimate sacrifice. And gracious God, even though we did not name any names aloud this morning, you know our printed prayer list. It is still lengthy. We pray your healing touch upon each one. Some folks are still facing life and death situations. Other folks are facing life-altering situations. Lord, we just pray your healing touch according to your will and your wisdom to be upon them. We pray your peace that passes all understanding will be upon those who grieve. And Lord, we pray for those situations that are silent upon the heart, that are known only between you and the person. May your touch be upon those as well. And Lord, we do thank you for Walker Church. We thank you that every time we gather, we experience you directly through your Holy Spirit. We experience your love through one another. Lord, we pray that as we come together, not only do we experience that love and support of one another, but Lord, we pray that we would inspire one another to higher places of our spiritual walk with you, to higher places of serving you. We pray that we motivate one another as together we can do more than we could do alone. And gracious Lord, we do pray for our nation and our world. Lord, in some ways, remind us that the world has always been a chaotic place. But yet, Lord, if there's anything that we can do in our small part of the world to make the world a little less chaotic, we pray that you would show us how to do so. And we pray that you would give us a peace in the midst of the chaos. And we pray that you will remind us that when we leave these grounds, that you are still with us. We ask that you will lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and that you will bring us back together so that we will worship you and we will encourage one another. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation is My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Let's stand as we sing.
us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, every gift that your people offer to you was first your gift lavished upon us. So as we bring back a portion of those financial gifts, we ask that your blessings will continue on each gift and giver, and that you will guide us as a congregation, that every single penny entrusted will be used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Our scripture lesson this morning is James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to ask a crazy question. But then again, as the message goes on, maybe it won't seem quite so crazy. But that question is, do you believe in prayer? For prayer is the key to being on the same page with God. It is crucial to experiencing the love, encouragement, and yes, even the correction of God. A 5-year-old girl disobeyed her mother and she was sent to her room. After a few minutes, the mother went to talk with her about why she had been disciplined. And with tear-filled eyes, the little girl asks, "Why do we do bad things?" And the mother responded, "Well, sometimes the devil tells us to do something wrong and we listen to him when we should listen to God instead." To which the little girl sobbed, "But God doesn't talk loud enough." Have you ever felt like that, little girl? I have. Particularly when I am facing decisions, when either every decision looks good or every decision looks bad. But when I've tried to make decisions, I have felt like the little girl. Because in every decision of my life, from the most private to the most public, I want to make decisions that demonstrate faith in God. I want to make decisions that demonstrate obedience to God. Yet God has done us a service and a disservice at the same time, if you will. God gave us a brain. And so God expects us to use that brain. And hence, we have the capacity. Of course, I've heard somebody say if it was so common, everybody would have it. We've been given the capacity anyway for common sense. We've been granted the capacity for good judgment. So when we're weighing all of our options and we're trying to make these decisions and we're trying to use our brain and we're trying to listen to God, I don't know about you, but so many times I find myself in that situation, I hear every voice of the obstacles. I hear every voice of the fear. You know why? They're shouting. I've got obstacles shouting in one ear and I got fear shouting in the other ear. They're shouting. And with all the shouting, it's hard to hear the voice of God, which is really the only voice that matters. Through prayer, we're able to hear and discern the will of God. You remember the story of Elijah? He had really upset Jezebel. And so she was out to kill him. And so he heads out, makes a run for it. And he's seeking courage and encouragement from the Lord. And he's seeking it in all of these powerful, dramatic, loud ways. And some translations of the Bible call it still small voice. Some call it a whisper. Elijah had to be in a place where he could hear the whisper of God. So that's just why prayer is so important. The obstacles, the fear, all of the rest, they're shouting at the top of their lungs while God whispers. God still speaks, but God doesn't yell. God still speaks, but God is more apt to speak in a whisper. God is more apt to nudge us. And in order to feel those nudges and to hear those whispers, we need to be in constant conversation with the Lord. But now a major issue we have to resolve between us and God is, do we really believe in prayer? There was a small town that had always been a dry town. That is, until a nightclub opened up on Main Street. And so the only church in town organized an all-night prayer meeting, and they asked God, burn that nightclub down to the ground. And within a few minutes, there was a thunderstorm, lightning struck the nightclub, and it burned to the ground. Well, the nightclub owner sued the church. And the church denied responsibility. They fought it out in court. I don't know how the verdict came out. But I do know one thing the judge said. After hearing both sides, the judge said, quote, "It seems that wherever the guilt may lie, the nightclub owner believes in prayer while the church doesn't." End quote. Now that's a cute little story. But sadly, it's all too true. How many times have we prayed to the Lord and the Lord granted our request, but we give credit to another person? We give credit to ourselves because we finally figured out what to do. And you mean it wasn't the Lord working through your mind that helped you figure out what to do? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and then I figured it out. We pray, and the Lord answers our prayer. Sometimes granting our request, and particularly when the Lord grants our request, we pass it off on some natural occurrence. Yeah, we prayed for that nightclub to be burned down to the ground, but we're not responsible. It was a lightning storm. This little story reminds us of both the necessity of belief in prayer and the necessity of taking responsibility for our prayers. It sounds like this congregation prayed, but they didn't expect God to really act. And maybe I'm going back to some of my other roots here and some other places, some other situations. But the way this story comes across to me is this little church got together. They didn't expect God to really act, but when the town didn't like what was going on in that nightclub, they could proudly say, well, we prayed up against that nightclub. We were good people. We prayed against it. So it's not our fault when all this stuff is going on. But yet when the Lord answered their prayer and burnt the place to the ground, we didn't have anything to do with it. Did they not believe in prayer? Or are they not willing to take responsibility for their prayer? Is it possible that we often pray only in desperation just in case God might act? We really don't expect anything to happen, but just in case, we better go through the motions of praying. We really don't expect anything to happen, but, 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 We feel better if we go through the motions of prayer. A former congregation we served was depressed. And to be honest, they had good reason. I was officiating a funeral in that church at least once a month, sometimes more. And they were depressed because they had suffered repeated tragedy and sadness. Death had struck people in that church from age 22 to 99. And nearly every age in between. But in some ways, that's not really the saddest part, as sad as that is. It came to the place in that grieving congregation where prayer requests were basically the first step of the grieving process. Prayer in that congregation had deteriorated into one more form of therapy rather than conversation with and guidance from the Creator of the universe. And life can be disappointing. Life can even be brutal. Even so, I contend, and I hope you agree, prayer is for real. I've seen too many cases in my own life and in the lives of others where God's intervention and positive answers to prayers. I've also seen in my own life where God didn't change my situation, but God changed me so I dealt better with the situation. As I consider my own prayer life and that of Walker Church, I hope that we, or if we are not already, that we move toward a concrete faith like the little boy who won a prize at a Valentine's party. An 8-year-old boy went home from school with a stuffed animal that he had won at the Valentine's party. When his dad asked him about it, the animal, he explained, "Well, the teacher put all of our names into this box and she picked one out." And then he started looking really guilty. He said, "But I cheated. I prayed." This little boy already knows that God answers prayer. Sometimes the way we want to, sometimes not. But God answers prayer. And this little boy already knows, if you don't expect God to act, don't pray. But if you do pray, look for how God's going to act. And he also realizes we have responsibility for that which we pray, because when we pray, we're petitioning the God of the universe that has all power. Such a lesson the congregation praying against the nightclub had not learned. Either they did not expect God to do anything, or they were not willing to accept responsibility for that which they prayed. Often we don't see the results of prayer because we don't ask. Jesus said, "You have not because you ask not." Billy Graham is recorded as saying, "Heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask." Sergeant Felix Jimenez of the Metro-Dade Police was one of the search party assigned to the task of finding the black box following the tragic Value Jet crash Flight 92 that plummeted into the Everglades in May of 1996. The Navy had used all kinds of sophisticated instruments with no success. The search party of Sergeant Jimenez had to hold ropes to keep a hold of each other, and the search members stood 3 feet apart and they poked poles all through the mud and the muck, and they had covered every single square inch of that crash site over a 14-day period. Jimenez reports that for all of the 14 days, he had prayed for the families of the crash victims. He had prayed for the safety of the workers. And on the 15th day, he took a break. And while he was on that break, he says, it dawned on him. He said he had prayed about everything but one thing. Help on finding the black box. He reports he prayed for direction, resumed the search, and within a little while stuck his pole in the muck again and hit something and pulled out the elusive black box. Jimenez wrote in God Post magazine, quote, "At the end of the day, I thought of the many days we had spent searching for the recorder and how we must have tromped over it many times, and I wondered why its retrieval had taken so long. Amid the low rustle of sawgrass and the call of a great white heron, I seemed to hear the response, 'Why did it take you so long to ask?'" We have not, because we ask not. But now there's one more point I want to bring out in this message, and it's a point that always troubled me. The sentence is this, in verse 16, the last verse of the scripture lesson this morning. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. That verse concerned me for a long time. Long, long, long time. Because I can't speak for you. But I know I want to be and I strive to be righteous. But I know me all too well. And there's no way I can make a claim on that. Even if all of my words are perfect. Even if all of my acts are okay, I do the right things and I avoid the wrong things. In all honesty, I can't say my every thought, my every attitude, my every motivation is where it should be. And then it dawned on me. Well, if I am able to reach a place where I can honestly say I've conquered my words, I've conquered my actions, I've conquered my thoughts, I've conquered my attitudes, I've conquered my motivations, and now I can claim I'm righteous, I'm not. Because then pride has come in. Look at me. Look how good I am. Look how righteous I am. I've conquered all of these spiritual things, so if I don't conquer it, I'm not righteous. If I do conquer it, but say that I have, I'm not righteous. So where does that leave my prayers? It says, the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Am I the only one that's ever struggled with that thought? Nobody needs to raise your hand. And then one day I had an aha moment. I read something I had read many, many times, but it finally clicked. Romans 4, 3 through 5. Paul teaches, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who worked, wages are not reckoned as a gift but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteous. My guess is, though I'm no judge, though I'm no prophet, my guess is none of us can claim to be righteous if we must depend on our spiritual accomplishments. But if anyone has trusted Jesus for salvation, and Jesus is the Lord of their life, he or she is righteous. So we'll continue to pray. We'll pray for guidance, we'll pray for strength, and we'll pray for wisdom in our individual lives. We'll continue to pray for one another. We will continue to pray for the ministry and mission of Walker Church. We will continue to pray for our nation. For when the righteous pray, God responds. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that you do answer our prayers. For those times when you have granted the request that we sought, we thank you. For those times when you answer our prayers in another way, grant us the trust and the wisdom that you still answered our prayer for our good because we love you. And so, gracious Lord, I just pray for all of us that we will grow in our belief in prayer. That we will grow in that place where when we offer our prayers, we know beyond any doubt that we are in communication with the God of the universe. And Lord, we would also pray for wisdom in our prayers, for we know there's also a responsibility for that which we pray. So Lord, grant us wisdom that if you answer our prayers, when you answer our prayers, we stand by them. And through whatever means you answer those prayers, we know that it comes from you. So Lord, you know where each person is in their prayer life in this room. We're not all, no two of us are at the exact same place. But Lord, wherever we are, may we grow in our faith, may we grow in our trust, and may we grow in our ability to accept the responsibility for that which we pray. For we know that you answer according to your will and your wisdom, which is always best. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our final hymn is "Open My Eyes That I May See." Let's stand as we sing. My God, I will see.